Well, we're taking a break for a couple of weeks from the Gospel of John, and I wanted to share this message from this passage this morning because it actually fits in with what we've been going through the Gospel of John. The theme behind John's Gospel was to believe and live, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As we place our trust in Him for salvation, we have eternal life. That is what God is calling every person to. God is inviting them to trust in Him alone for salvation. Many of the people here today, that has been their case, that there's a point in their life where they've recognized that Jesus is their only way of salvation. We are without strength. We're sinners. We're helpless sinners. We can't save ourselves. We are, in our normal state, enemies of God. But Jesus offers us salvation if we would trust in Him. God declares us right with Him. We're reconciled with God and we have eternal life, and that's a wonderful thing. So God calls us to salvation, but God calls us to other things as well. And as a Christian, you might wonder, well, what does God want me to do now? I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm secure, I know I'm going to heaven, but how am I to spend the rest of my life here on earth? None of us know how long we have here, but what is it that God wants me to do? And today we look at a passage that is a call of Jesus. Jesus is calling people who are already believers. There's three aspects to this call. It's a call to find, a call to follow, and a call to forsake. And God is calling each of us as Christians to a closer walk with Him. We sang about that this morning. He's calling us to trust Him. And that may not mean for you to pack up everything like these disciples did and just move off to another place or to walk away from things. But certainly God does want us to walk in a closer way with Him. The wonderful thing we'll see today is that God knows exactly where we are, and Jesus knows exactly where we are, and He comes to us where we are, and He helps us where we are, but He also wants to bring us on and help us in our walk with Him. As we go through this passage, we'll be looking mostly at the Gospel of Luke. This passage is actually, the account of this event is given in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you notice that Matthew's event was just very short and sweet. It said that Jesus came to these people who were fishermen and He said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, and they just dropped everything and they went. And if you read that normally, and you may have heard that story before, and you may have thought, wow, he just came up, met these guys, you're thinking in mind, he's never met them before, he calls them by name, they just drop everything and they just go and follow Him. But that's actually not the case. We have to understand that Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels need to be pieced together to find out the actual timeline of events. And we have been going through John's Gospel, which is actually, in the timeline of events, is the first part of Jesus' ministry, and actually covers the first year of Jesus' ministry, where the other two really pick it up at the end of the first year and have the second and third. And so when Jesus is coming to these men, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, they are people who already have trusted in Him for salvation. They are people who have actually been following Him for some time. We go back to John chapter 2, and in John chapter 2 we know that they were with Him at the wedding of Cana. They saw those miracles of turning the water into wine. They had seen Him before that. Remember that John the Baptist had actually said, behold the Lamb of God, here's the Lamb of God. And really they left off, some of them were disciples of John the Baptist and they followed Him. So they've been spending time with Jesus. They were with Jesus in the temple, when He cleared out the temple. They knew of Nicodemus when he came and visited Him by night. They were with Jesus with the Samaritan woman, which we've looked at. And then after that, in John chapter 4, there was this healing of the nobleman. And so all of this, they had already been with Him. And somewhere along the way, they had gone back to their home. Remember that Jesus started His ministry in Galilee, in Cana of Galilee, which is up in this region. He went down to Jerusalem and He came back up. And they were now back in their hometown. Peter and Andrew and James and John had gone back to what their profession was, fishing. It's not a bad profession, hey Jimmy? That was what they did day to day. They went out and they caught fish. They'd been doing this for years. And they were actually business partners. And the father, Zebedee, was somehow involved in the business as well. And so this was a family business, two families that were working together. And they had gone back to that. Now, we don't know whether they had done that at Jesus' command. Jesus might have said, hey, guys, go back home for a while. Or whether they just perhaps had thought about, oh, I need to go back and take care of, you know, the business, family and all those things. Certainly, we don't see any rebuke from Jesus about them going back to do that. But now Jesus is coming to them and he is calling them to something new. They had followed Jesus for a little while. They'd been with Jesus a little while. And now he's actually calling them to a new level of commitment. This is what we find that Jesus does in our lives as well. That he continually will come to us and want us to walk with him closer into new levels of commitment. Not just commitment, but also to trusting him. He's going to demonstrate this to these disciples by a miracle, which he does, and also by a command as well. In Luke chapter 5, we see that these men were down by the Lake of Gennesaret. It's the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Capernaum, and it's all the same name. It's all the same area. And they're there because they're fishermen. They have been, in Luke chapter 2, he says that we saw these ships standing by the lake and the fishermen had come out of them and they were washing their nets. They had been out all night. Now, if you're a fisherman, you know sometimes it's the best time to go out is at dark because that's when the fish are around. There are around during the other times of the day, but particularly in something like this, which is a lake, very large lake, then with if where the water is not very deep, when it's light during the day, the fish are not going to come to the surface. And so at night time is the best time to go out. So they would often do this. They would go out all night. As we read on, we find that they'd been out all night and they hadn't caught anything. But they're coming back in and they have to mend their nets and wash them and prepare them and get them all ready for the next day. Jesus comes down to meet them. And this is what I find is interesting, is Jesus came to them. They didn't have to go off and find him. He knew where they were and he wanted to come to them. So he came down and the first thing he did is at this stage he was popular in his ministry and so people gathered around. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And so he asked these men, and there were people he knew, they weren't just strangers. He said, can you just, there was a crowd gathering, so he said, could I use your boat? Could we just push off from the shore a little bit? And so he stood in the boat, just a little bit off the shore, to give room for the people around. And he taught them for a while. We don't know how long. After that, he dismissed those people and so they went away. And now he turns his attention to the disciples. Now, he was there, I believe he was there really for the disciples. He did certainly teach the people there, but he was there for them. He came and he knew where they were. And as he came to them, he wanted to demonstrate something to them. So he said to Simon, it says here, which is Peter, he turned and said, take out your nets, put them in for, you know, this is lay them down for a draft, that's the old term, but it's like, put them in for a catch. There's two things. Firstly, they weren't that far offshore. And secondly, it was the middle of the day. And Jesus Peter reminds Jesus of that. He says, well, we've been out all night and we haven't caught anything. And maybe at the back of his mind, Peter's thinking like, okay, Jesus, well, because he says, and your word will put down the nets. He's thinking, well, okay, understand Jesus. He's come from a carpenter's family. He doesn't really understand fishing, but, you know, okay, we'll humour him. Of course, the result was this amazing catch, and every fisherman will love a catch like this. Fish just leapt into the nets. And of course, when Jesus tells creation to do something, being God, every fish in the area just probably jumped into the nets. And so much that it broke the nets. They had to call the other boat. They fill up their boats. They were overflowing. There's so many fish. Peter's immediate response was, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Why did he say that? Well, he was reminded of who Jesus really was. This is why Jesus did this. He reminded the people, his disciples, of, hey, you've seen some miracles already. I just want to remind you that I can provide for you. And it's going to be important because of what he's going to call them to do. And then he comes to this call, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. If in Matthew it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I'll just look at Mark as well. In Mark chapter 1, it says, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now, all of those three are important, and this is what I want to focus on this morning. What is Jesus actually calling them to? And what is Jesus calling us to as Christians, as we walk with him, as we are his disciples? Well, three things. Firstly, he says, follow me. They have been following Jesus. They've been out around with him. They've been in Cana. They've been down to Jerusalem, and they had been doing that. But that was an occasional following. It was sort of a following that was with him, but not with a great deal of commitment. Jesus is now calling them to a closer following. He's calling them to an ongoing following of them, something that they would continue to do, that they would spend their day by day with them. And he does that because he has a purpose for them. They don't realize it now, but these few are going to be part of the 12 disciples that are instrumental in the ministry of Jesus, but ultimately they're going to be the apostles, the ones that are going to be used for the foundation of the church. They're going to see many great and wonderful things. They're going to face challenges as well. And Jesus knows all this, but they don't. And so he's coming to them, and he's now going to, when he's talking to them and asking them to follow, he's asking them to trust him, to continue to trust him, but to walk with him closer. One of the things I like about this is that Jesus is calling them to follow. Jesus is not a leader that sort of gets people and pushes them out there and says, here you go, you're on your own. In fact, Jesus, we're told, was tempted on all points and yet was without sin. Jesus doesn't ask us to go anywhere where he hasn't already been. Jesus came from the glories of heaven to the commonness of earth. He gave up the glories of heaven for a time. And so when Jesus is asking them to give up some things and follow him, he is familiar with that. And he knows that, and he knows exactly where they are. You see that in verse 10 because he says, fear not. He knows that this following him is going to be something that will be a little bit scary for them, because they don't know what is ahead. But Jesus' call to follow is for all of us. No matter where you are at the moment, maybe you have someone that is in your walk with the Lord, you might be a little bit distant. Maybe you are walking with him very closely. And what do I mean by walking with him? Spending time with him. How do we spend time with Jesus? Well, we spend time in prayer, we spend time in the Word, we spend time just talking to him, because we can talk to him. Not in flowery words, but as someone who is with us and has promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. See, Jesus is with us. We have to understand he lives in us even by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what he wants us to do is to remember that he is with us and to actually walk with him, spend time with him, build that relationship with him. And you'll see that every one of the disciples of Christ, that God is calling them to walk closer. Jesus is not wanting you to pull away, to be distant from him. He actually wants you to draw nearer to him. And wherever you are at the moment, understand that Jesus is coming to you where you're at. He's not asking you to jump through all these hoops. He's coming to you where you're at, but he is encouraging you, hey, I want to spend some time with you. I want to spend more time with you. And we need to listen to what he has to say. Why? Because we can trust him, as we'll see. So the call is to, firstly, to follow. And he is calling each of them to follow him, and that it would be in a way that would be a more ongoing and ultimately permanent way as well. But what is he calling them to do? Yes, he's spending time. They're saying, I want to spend time to Jesus. But Jesus also, the second part is, he's calling us to not only to follow, but to find. He says to these men, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. These guys were fishermen. They knew all about fishing. They knew how to catch fish. And they were very good at it. In their role and their profession as fishermen, they would have gone out nearly every day. They faced the elements, the wind, the waves, all of those sorts of things. They knew how to look for fish and where to look for fish. And not all the time were they successful, but it was their livelihood. It was what brought them their income, their family's income. It was what sustained them. Jesus is now telling them that he's going to take the gifts and talents that they have and use them for a new purpose. And this is important to us because often when we think about what God might be wanting us to do in our lives, sometimes we think, well, he is going to take us and completely, you know, people say, well, is he going to take me and make me a missionary in Africa or something like that? Well, maybe he has that plan, but what we see that Jesus does is he takes the gifts and talents and abilities that you already have and uses and wants you to use them for a new purpose. All of us have different gifts and talents and abilities. You might say, well, I can't preach or I can't teach, and that's fine. God has gifted some people in that area, or God is helping some people to grow in that area. But there's something that every person can do for the Lord. And God says, I'm going to take what you can already do, and I'm going to use that for the Lord. Can you write? Can you sing? Can you show kindness to another? Can you give? Do you have administrative abilities? Can you repair things? Whatever it is, God wants us to take that and to use it for his purpose. And the other thing that I like in this is that he says, I will make you to become fishers of men. God understands that when we think about the process and the purpose that he has for us and what he is growing us into and the roles that he wants us to, how he wants us to serve him, this is really what this is. It's a call to serve him, to follow him, and to actually, like I said, to be of service for him. God knows that it's a process. It's something that takes time. He doesn't expect us from day one to be able to do everything perfectly. He also says, I will make you to become. We understand that God is the one, he's calling us to things, but he will also equip us to do it. He will give us the abilities that we need if we don't have them, and he will use the abilities that we already have to a new purpose. And this purpose for the disciples here was to be fishers of men. What does that mean? Well, they were very used to catching fish, and God says now, in essence, I want you to bring people to me, to catch people for me. Now, that's not in a crafty, deceptive way. What he's saying is he's already mentioned to them about the harvest, and we know with John chapter 4, he says, look up and see the harvest, and that there is a harvest there. He's saying there's also a catch. There's people out there that are waiting to come, that need Christ. I mean, everybody needs Christ, but he's also that are ready and that you can bring to me. It's great to go fishing. We went fishing on Monday and we caught a few fish. Jimmy caught a nice one yesterday, didn't you? And we know that involves some skill. I know when I first came down here, I wanted to do some surf fishing, and I looked at all the YouTube videos and all that sort of stuff, and it looked so easy. It was just like you walk down, you throw your rod in, and then you pull the fish out, and they say, it's great, just go anywhere on the beach and throw it in. What you soon realize is that there is skill and patience and all sorts of things involved in fishing. You need to know where to go. You need to know what sort of bait to use. You need to know the time of day. You need to know all of these things. And this is what God is going to work in their lives and teach them as to how to do that. Now, understand, God's the one that brings in the catch, but he needs workers to help, and this is what they're doing there. What does that mean for us? Well, of course, the Great Commission tells us that we are to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody around us, and certainly that's true. All of us should be ready and prepared to do that. Whether that is giving out a gospel leaflet, whether it's that's talking to someone, there's many different ways in which that happens, and many different ways. It's the one gospel message, but there's so many different ways in which that message can be shared. Not only with our words and with our teaching, but with our lives and the practical deeds that we do as well. And so that is certainly a call for people to be, in one way, fishers of men, to reach out to the people around us. But one of the things when I see this, I realize is that the more that you spend time with Jesus, the more that you follow him, the more that he is going to take your eyes off yourself and turn them to people around you. If you're spending time with Jesus, if you're praying, you're seeking him, you're spending time with him, your heart will then turn towards looking at the people around you, whether that's in your family, that's within the church, ultimately in the community around. Why is that? Because Jesus' heart is toward others. Jesus is not focused on himself. Philippians chapter 2 says that let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. He didn't look on his own things. He looked on the things of others. He was willing to leave his comfort, his glory of heaven, and to offer himself as a sacrifice in our place, to become obedient to the will of the Father, even to the death on the cross. And so for us, it means that as we follow Jesus more, as we spend more time with him, he's going to call us in this area of finding. And really the heart of that is he's going to call us to turn our eyes and our focus off our own needs and to turn them to the needs of others, whether that's physical needs, but most often it's the spiritual needs of others. And so this is what God is calling them to do as well. He calls them to find, he calls them to follow, he calls them to find, and lastly, he calls them to forsake. We read here that when they, you see this amazing catch that they're brought in, fishes everywhere, and these two boats have been brought into shore. That fish would have been worth a lot of money. And it was really what they had, and that was what they, that what they would live off. But in all three passages, it says that they forsook something. They gave it up. And they just left it, and they followed Jesus. Why would you do that? Why would you give up probably the best catch you've ever had? Why would you give up the most lucrative financial offer that you've ever had to go and walk with and to follow Christ? Well, the answer is in what Jesus did. Jesus actually, in this miracle, showed them that he could provide for anything that they needed. They need fish? Great, I'll get fish. And he got more fish than they could ever need. So they realized, and they had to come to the point to realize that they, their resources, their own efforts to go out and catch fish weren't anywhere near as what Jesus could do. They went fishing all night. They couldn't catch fish. Not that they've never caught fish, but their own efforts, and I believe Jesus knew this, this is why he came to them at this time, that their own efforts weren't bringing them what they needed. But Jesus says, I can provide for all your needs. I can meet all your needs with that. That's important for us to realize, because whenever God calls us to walk with him, to spend time with him, to set our focus on others, the first and natural response that we would have is, but what about me? What am I, you know, how am I going to live? What am I going to do? And I'm not talking here about walking away from your job. Even for us to give time to another person, we say, well, hey, that means I'm going to have to give up time for myself. Even to give some sort of energy and in helping others, that means that I'm going to need to give up some of what I'm relying on at the moment. It might be finances. It may be time. It may just be effort and physical energy. What Jesus wants us to know is that he can provide for all of our needs, and he does provide for all of our needs, and so that we can trust him with that. They left their nets. What are their nets? Well, of course, that is the means by which they could get the fish. And so for Jesus to ask them to leave their nets, and ultimately he says they forsook everything, he's telling them to, look, give up on your own way to try to make things work out. Give up on your relying on your own resources. Trust and rely on my resources. And we need to do that as well. Like I said, it doesn't mean necessarily to leave your job, to leave the situation you're in, to pick up here and travel to another part of the country. It may mean that, but I would encourage you, before you do anything like that, that God's word also counsels us to get counsel from other people, to pray about it. And if God is calling you to a new place, then you know you should talk to some people about it. Talk to your pastor about it. If God's calling you and encouraging you to be involved in a new ministry, or maybe to take on some responsibilities, maybe to start a new ministry in this church, great. But talk to myself or talk to other Christians about that as well. God wants us to serve him, but he also sees that we are not isolated. We serve him in conjunction with others, and so there's value in that. The nets are something that is their resources, but they're also their nets, being nets can entangle. And this is what sometimes we find. When we get so reliant on a certain way that we do things and the certain trusting in our own resources, our own abilities, it can actually hinder us from going ahead. And I'll share some things related to how God's been using this in my life, personally, a little afterwards in the business meeting. But what we see is that God wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him on a daily basis. And for that, that means we're going to follow him, we're going to serve him. It will also mean there's some things that we need to let go of. For the disciples, it meant letting go of everything. Their profession, it meant for a time their families, although while we don't hear about those families in there, certainly they spent time with Jesus. They did have interaction with their families as well, no doubt. But Jesus is asking them to leave behind everything that they're familiar with and to follow him. Now the promise that he gives them is that he will provide for them, that he will never leave them or forsake them, is what he says later on. But he's proved with this miracle that he can provide for them. And later on he will see this in Matthew 6, which is not long after this. He's giving the Sermon on the Mount and he says, "Take no thought, saying what you shall eat, what you shall drink, where you shall be clothed, because your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these." God knows exactly what we need. Now often we want more than what we need, but God knows what we need and he can meet our needs. Now, sometimes he meets that through other people giving and providing. Sometimes he'll meet that through our own working, through physical work, providing a job, providing employment. Sometimes he'll meet that through just daily blessings, financial or otherwise. But we can trust him in that. They're going to see that later on as we will come to the end of this month in John chapter 6, where Jesus can take a few small fish and a couple of loaves and turn it and feed 5,000 men, or 15,000 probably, because it's men, women and children. They're going to see it later on because when Peter is answering the question that some asked about, oh, does Jesus pay taxes? He says, yeah, no, Jesus pays taxes. And then Jesus says, "I tell you what, go down, put in a fishing pole." And this time he's putting in a fish pole. He says, "Catch the first fish. And when you catch that fish, it'll have two coins in its mouth. You take those coins, pay your tax and pay my tax." Can Jesus provide? Yes, he can provide. And anybody who has been a Christian for any amount of time knows that Jesus can provide. Maybe you haven't had a fish with two coins in its mouth. No, I don't think any of us have. But you have seen times where God has provided for you when you didn't know how you were going to make ends meet. You could see when God has provided for you emotionally when you're struggling. You can see how God has provided for not your physical needs of health when you're struggling as well. God knows our needs and he can meet and provide for all those needs. And in doing this, he's revealing, he's revealing a purpose for their lives. He is who he claims he is, the Son of God. He can provide for this. He wants them to know he can provide for them, and he has a new purpose for them as well. Their purpose ultimately is going to be to serve him and to be the foundation of the church, the apostles. And for each of them, ultimately, they're going to forsake the ultimate and give their lives for him. Jesus didn't walk up to them one day and say, "Hey, guys, you're going to be the apostles, you're going to be beaten, stoned, all these things are going to happen to you, and you're going to eventually be killed for my sake." Who wants that deal? No one wants that. But God knows that as they trust him in small areas, in little things, and as he continues to draw them and call them to a deeper and a closer walk with them, that it will come to the point that ultimately they are willing to give their lives to him, not because of that they want to die, but because they realize there's an eternity. There is something far greater. There is eternal life, and that is the eternal purposes are far more important than the things right now. So for us, just in closing, what does God calling you to do? Firstly, I believe he's calling each of us to follow him. Follow him in a closer way. Each of you know where you're at with the Lord at the moment in terms of your walk with him. Often we try to put on a face to others to make us think, others think that we're maybe doing better than we are. But Jesus knows exactly where we are. And he's coming to you today and he's saying, you know what, I want you to follow me. I want you to walk closer with me. Maybe you've done that in the past like these disciples. Maybe there's been times in the past when you've had some really close walks with the Lord, and maybe at the moment though, you're struggling. And Jesus is saying, that's okay. I just want you to follow me. Just take the next step. He also has a purpose for us, and as we spend time with him, he wants us to say, life's not about us. There's more to it. Set your focus on Jesus Christ first, and as you set your focus on Jesus Christ, you will set your focus on others. Look at the world around you. There is so much that can be done for the Lord. There are so many people that are hurting and need. It's great that we've been able to give out some of these gospel leaflets. And I would encourage you, have a few of those with you. Sometimes because, you might talk to someone and they're saying, look, I'm really struggling at the moment. Maybe you don't have the words to say, but you say, look, just read one of these. It'll just give you some Bible verses to encourage you with that. That's another thing. But God has a purpose for you, and that purpose, like I said, will involve a focus on the Lord, but also a focus on others. Think about how you're living your life at the moment, and as I think about that too, how much time do we spend focused on our own needs? How does God want us to spend our time, and how can we perhaps turn some of that to others? It's not something that we just need to do now I know I need to go and do this, I know I need to go out and do these things. You will only get the right view of what God wants you to do by spending time with him. It starts with following. As we spend time with Jesus, he'll show us the people that he wants us to be involved with. Otherwise, we could be racing around doing all sorts of things that God doesn't want us to do and burning ourselves out for purposes that are not his purposes. But lastly, it will mean for us that we're going to have to leave off on some things. That may mean, just quite simply, there's some things that we're spending our time doing, there's some habits that we have that we need to bring before the Lord and say, Lord, I just need some victory over these areas in my life. I need you to perhaps direct me on what I should be doing, how I spend my time. And in some areas, it may mean a fairly drastic change in your life, in what you do, how you spend your time, and where you're going. But be assured, if God is leading you in those directions, he will guide you in those. And he will give you direction along the way. It's not just a bolt of lightning and, now I'm going to leave everything and do this. God will lead you in the areas that you want to go. It all begins with spending time with him, trusting him and following him. And he will lead you and he will provide for your needs as well. So I want you to think about those things this morning. What's God calling us to do? He's calling us to follow. He's calling us to find. And he's calling us to forsake, to leave our nets and to follow him. And it's a great blessing to know that he is with us and that he is the one that can meet all the needs for that. He just wants us to trust him each day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the account here of how you call the disciples. Thank you, Lord, that we realize that as you call us to walk with you, that is a continual call. It's not just a once-off. And that, Lord, that you are drawing us nearer and nearer to you. Help us to be people that follow you, not just in a casual way, but, Lord, in a closer way. Lord, not just observers, but as ones that really want to get to know you. Know you through just spending time with you, talking with you, engaging in your word, reading it, hearing it, studying it. Lord, that we might come to a closer knowledge, a closer walk with you and a closer fellowship with you. And Lord, as you do that, we know that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. Lord, we know that may likely be different for each person, the specific purpose. But we know that the general purpose, Lord, is that you would have us to set our focus upon others. Lord, give us a heart for those around us. Show us the people that you want us to minister to love, to help. And finally, Lord, help us to realize the areas in our life that may need to be trimmed, forsaken, the nets that we need to leave, the things that entangle us. And Lord, so that we could follow you, that we could bring you glory, and that we could be blessed in return. We thank you in Jesus' name.